this message. Not meant to be clever, it's actually scriptural. What we can't remember, God can't forget. Read with me verses 5 through 8. Not meant to be clever at all, but to comfort. Verses 5 through 8. Remember, the Lord tells us, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word He commanded to a thousand generations. This is to God's people, He said, the seed of Abraham, sons of Jacob, true Israel, true people of God, those who worship God in spirit, true concision, and worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Those that fear God, those that look to Christ, those who have no hope in themselves, those who do not trust themselves and their works, those who know that they're sinners and their greatest need is the mercy of God through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this is speaking to. And it's good news. I've got good news to you, whoever it is, that could enter into what I just said. Chosen of God, revealed the gospel to you. She's revealed yourself to you. And shown you your need of the mercy of God through a bloody sacrifice. Amen. I've got good news. Got good news. Got 2 points to this message, actually. And this didn't originate with me or any man. This is just what God's Word said. 2 points, actually. First is what we can't seem to remember. God cannot forget. And what we can't forget, God can't remember. Some of you already know. You already know. This message was mostly scripture. And I began to look up all the times it speaks about remembering. And forgetting. There were just too many. I just kept jotting down. I jotted down about 60 verses of Scripture. And I quit. So we can't read all of those. But we'll read a few. What we can't seem to remember, God cannot forget. He tells us in verse 5, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Remember. Remember His works. 2 great works of our God are creation and salvation. These make up the principal works of our God. Creation and salvation. The heavens declare His glory. Wondrous works of God. Are you with me? Come on now. Wake up. This is glorious. We don't deserve to hear this. God made this, the heavens and the earth. The heavens declare His glory, the firmament that showeth His handiwork. Day and night utter speech. This psalm begins by saying, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds. Sing unto the Lord. Glory in His holy name. Seek the Lord. It's a emphatic command. Why? He hath made us and not we ourselves. And He made this earth and put us on it and given us all things richly to enjoy. The God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. He's given us all these things, freely given us. And oh, we sure are a sorry, ungrateful lot, aren't we? We've met here today. This is why we come here. We come here to give thanks to our Creator. Romans 1, man.
How much longer is God going to put up with His creation?
God continues to be merciful and gracious and kind and just lavish people with things. Just keep giving and giving and giving. By the grace of God, we are what we are and have what we have and do what our great Creator in whose hands we are gives us all these things. What do? Forget it. Forget. We ought to be marveling. We quit. He says His marvelous works. I'm guilty. At times I go, I don't marvel. I don't marvel. I don't wonder at His works. We ought to wake up every morning and marvel. Wonder. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Every time we wake up. If we went to sleep, He gave it to us. If we wake up, a new day of mercy. And that sun He puts in the sky is to remind us, remember now thy Creator. And we forget no one. His wondrous works, His providence. Says, remember His marvelous works of creation that He hath done, His wonders, His wondrous works of providence. This whole book, beginning mostly in Exodus, is the story of a people, a sorry people, a no good people, a worthless people that didn't know God. They didn't know God. But God knew them. God loved them. God chose them to do what? To reveal Himself to them. I'm God, there is none else. Left to themselves, they'd have been like the Egyptians. And that's us. Every one of them. And from Exodus all the way through to the end of the book is story after story reminding us how that God chose a people. And God had mercy on these people. And God was gracious to these people. Saved the rebellious people. That forgot Him all the time. Day in and day out. Didn't give Him a thought. How that God in sovereign mercy and electing grace, long suffering. The whole book is reminder after reminder, psalm after psalm, reminding us, look at these people. Look at what they did. And look at what God did for them. Look at His great mercy. Look at His great grace. Look at how long He put up with them. Every preacher stood up and preached that. David wrote so many psalms about that, didn't he? Reminding us. And we're no different. There's not a person in here who differs. Not one believer in here differs from those sons of Jacob. In Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy, the whole book is a reminder, is a rehearsal again of the same things over and over. And he says in Deuteronomy 8, remember all the way thy Lord led thee and fed thee and watered thee and had mercy on thee and kept you as the apple of His eye when you were far from faithful, far from appreciative, far from thankful. Come far short of His glory. Psalm 106, it's not by accident that it follows chapter 105. Chapter 105 is all the works of God. Then chapter 106 says, now this is what the people did. This is what they did. Look at chapter 106, verse 6. It says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercy. They forgot. What did they start doing? Start murmuring in their tents. Start complaining. Don't you love the Lord's mercy there? Chapter 105 says they asked Him for meat and He gave them quails. They weren't asking. They were demanding. They were complaining. And He gave them. Look at verse 13. They soon forgot His works. They didn't wait for His counsel, His word. They didn't wait to see what the Lord said, but they ran ahead. Lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Tempted God in the desert. And He gave them requests that sent leanness into their soul. Oh my. If you are honest, if we are honest, every professing believer in here is honest, you will admit we often forget God. We go through times that we don't give Him much thought. We don't think about His presence. We would sin a lot less if we were conscious of the presence of God. David says it all the time, in thy sight have I done this evil. Thought this thought. Shut him out of the mind so we could indulge ourselves. Don't consider him. Don't consider his word. Don't look at his word. Don't think on it. Rather think, don't think on him. Go times. We don't think on him, but we, our affection set on things below. Things on the earth. Not on things above. Anybody? Everybody. Times we don't call on him. Don't seek his face. Don't seek his wisdom. And then we get ourselves into trouble. Every time. And God allows it. He allows it to chasten us, to humble us. And the worst times, like verse 25, murmured in their tents. And down in verse 35 says they mingled among the heathen, learned their works. That is, they became just like the people around them. Verse 39 says that they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring. That's biblical language, isn't it? Our brother prayed that last week. May have shocked some sensitive ears. We go a-whoring, but that's what the scripture means. That means sell your body. Sell yourself to pleasure. And there's not a person in here that hadn't done it and doesn't do it still. Not one. Not one. Beginning with me. And up in verse 23, he said, had not Moses stood in the breach? You know who Moses represents, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ who stood in the breach. Had not God sent Christ down here to be crucified on Calvary's tree in our place, He destroyed us all. And would still. Had not Moses made intercession for the transgressors, and did not our Lord Jesus Christ right now ever live to make intercession for these, us transgressors, we'd perish. But we get into trouble of our own making for not listening to our Lord, for not seeking Him, and He hides His face. Thou art a God that hideth thyself. And his children go astray. It's the nature of children to do so. Children almost always will always leave their parents, forget their parents. It's sad. It shouldn't happen, should it? But they all do it, especially young men, boys, you know. But they all do it. Forget their parents. Forget those that have done so much, that gave them birth. Those that cradled them and nursed them and loved them and forgave them and did all that they did for them all their days, brought them up, and they quickly forget, don't they? Get lifted up with pride. Begin to think they know something and can do something. But parents seldom forget their children.
It's just not in the nature of a true loving parent to forget their child. That child is always on the mind of that parent. When that child never gives a parent a thought, that parent's thoughts toward that child are always good. Doesn't matter where that child is, how low that child gets, how wicked. Such is the love. We forget God, His people. I'm talking to His people now. I'm not talking to those that don't know Him. I'm talking to those who do. We forget God, and we get in trouble, and He allows it for our good. It's for our good. And we get in trouble, we forget God, and then we cry, like David did in Psalm 77. He said, after he realized what a fool he was and what he'd done and where he'd gotten himself, what he'd gotten himself into, and how he forgot God, like the prodigal son, and he cried out, feeling like God had forgotten him, feeling like the Lord is finally through with him, which he should be. And he cried out, is His mercy clean gone? Does His promise fail? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath God forgotten? Turn with me to Psalm 49. I'm sorry, Isaiah 49. As I said, children do forget, will forget their parents, but a loving parent can never really forget their children. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. The children of God even often forget their Heavenly Father, but God cannot forget His children. God cannot forget His children. Christ cannot forget His bride. Look at Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens. This is why we need to sing. Sing, O heavens. Be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountain. For the Lord hath comforted His people. He will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, because they got themselves in this mess, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. But He says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Doesn't seem possible, does it? But you know, women do. He said, yes, they may forget, and they often do, such as sinful man and women. Huh? Yet will I not forgive them. It's not possible. I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands, He said. You're continually before me. Graven thee on the palms of my hand. What do you reckon that means? The Lord Jesus Christ has scars in His hands where He laid down His life for His sheep, not everybody, His sheep. He knows them by name, like the high priest of old had names on his shoulder and on his breastplate. The people that He went to redeem, He knew them all by name. He says, I know my sheep. I know them. I called them by name. I died for every one of them. I'm going to have them. And He thinks on them. He's scarred. He still has scars. The Lord Jesus Christ still has scars. And our names are written. People of God's names are written in those scars. They cannot forget them. They forget Him. He cannot forget them. The children of God, the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Look at Isaiah 54.
Oh, how I love this. Isaiah 54. Listen to this. Verse. I wish everyone was here to hear this, but they're not. You are. You are. Verse 4 of Isaiah 54 says, "Fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed." Ought to, but you won't. "Neither shall you be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called." Who? Jesus Christ. Our husband, the husband of his bride, of his wife, the church. "The Lord," verse 6, "hath called thee as a woman forsaken." Or like that child in Ezekiel's field. Huh? In chapter 16, that child. It's both. That child was forsaken, but the Lord came by and chose that child, polluted and loved it and caused it to live. And you know what? But you know what the child did? Grew up and became beautiful through his coming. And yet she got proud. She got proud. When she was a nothing from nowhere, God, but she got proud. And then the Lord let her see herself for what it was, her ugliness. And he came again and expressed his love to her. We're like Hosea and Gomer. Huh? Like Hosea and Gomer. Gomer forgot Hosea. Gomer forgot Hosea. The Lord sent this wonderful man down to marry a harlot. And he did. A woman of whoredoms. Rescued her, bought her with a price off the auction block of sin, who sold herself for sin, for pleasure. Her blessed Hosea, which is Christ, came and bought her to himself and began to feed her, clothe her, and loved her, and dressed her, and cleaned her up, and made her into a beautiful woman. But what she did? She forgot him. And went whoring again and again and again. But God kept sending Hosea back to her to tell her, "I can't forget you. I won't leave you." And he said in Isaiah, I think it's 51, "Where's the bill of your divorcement? You're trying to divorce me. And you would if I'd let you. But he says, I won't. I'll never give you up." That's Jeremiah. Oh, that's Jeremiah. Let me read that to you. Okay, in Jeremiah 31. You can turn if you want to. You'd miss a blessing if you don't. Jeremiah 31, verse 18. He says, "I've heard Ephraim bemoaning himself." He should. He should. He's sorry. He's a sorry fella. Ungrateful. Unfaithful. Unworthy. And the Lord chastised him. And Ephraim says, "He's chastised me. I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I'll be turned. Thou art the Lord my God." Surely, he said, God said, after that I was turned, Ephraim says, "After I was turned, I repented." I wouldn't have if he hadn't turned me. If he hadn't given me repentance. "After I was instructed, I smote on my thigh." You ever done that? You ever done that when something finally gets through to you and you realize your foolishness and your folly and your sin? You go, "What's wrong with me?" Or the publican in the temple, "My breast smote on my thigh." And he says, "I was ashamed, confounded. I bore the reproach of my youth." Here's what the Lord said about Ephraim. "Oh, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? Since I spoke against him, I do earnestly remember him still. And my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy on him, saith the Lord." Did anybody hear that? Huh? He said in another place, "Ephraim, how can I give you up?" Ephraim's wanting to leave, wanting out like that prodigal. "Give me what's coming to me. I'm out of here." But God.
for me. God said, I do earnestly remember him. He's forgotten me. Time and time again, she's forgotten me. Gives a whole day, a whole week without even giving me a thought. But there's not a moment in time that she's not in my thoughts. And I do know my thoughts toward her, thoughts of peace. What does she do? Murmurs and complains and fears and worries. What a wretched, wretched people we are. What a wonderful God we have. He remembers for us. Well, he remembers first of all our frame. But perhaps my favorite verse in all of Scripture. My favorite psalm, I have to say, is Psalm 103. Next to Psalm 51, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 1, Psalm 5. But Psalm 103, like as a father pitieth his children. A child rarely gives a parent a thought, yet that parent pities them. That child may rebel against that parent, hurt them and mean to. But it's not in that parent to hate them. Love can't do it. And he remembers, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth. He remembereth that we're dust. He never forgets what we're made of. Listen to me now, sinner. The Lord God never forgets what you're made of. He never forgets your frame. He never loses sight of the fact that your sinful flesh, that in you dwelleth no good thing. He never loses sight of the fact that you're weak, that you're helpless, that without him you can do nothing. He never loses sight of that. He remembers your frame all the time. He remembers your propensity to sin. He remembers your proneness to wander. He remembers that you forget it. Your short memory. He remembers that you can't remember. He knows your frame. He remembers for us what we forget or choose to. His law. It says in Isaiah 53 that by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify men. We know his law. We know it in our head, but we don't keep it. There's many times when we willfully don't keep it. Right? That's right. He knows. You know. He knows our frame. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Now, he knows that. He knows what sheep are made of. He never loses sight of them. That's why he said, I'm the great shepherd. Great shepherd. He knows our frame. He knows his law and he kept it for us. He knows his covenants. Look at back at Psalm 106. Look at verse 45. Look at this. We forget. His law, we forget his covenant, we forget his gospel. Take it for granted. Forget. Verse 44. Nevertheless, he regarded their afflictions. And we heard their cry. And he remembered for them. He remembered for them his covenant. He'll never forget his covenants with Christ. We often forget what should be unforgettable. That Jesus Christ came here goodness gracious. We don't understand what it was like for him to come to this place and who he came for. Or what it was like for him to endure what he did on Calvary's tree. We just don't understand. Someday we will. We don't sing these songs like we often. We don't understand. When we talk about him who loved us and hung on that cross, but we just don't understand what we're saying, do we? We couldn't. We draw near with our lips. and our hearts are far from. He knows it. He knows our prayer. For Him to send His Son down here and do what He did, and for us to hear it and not fall to our knees in praise and thanksgiving and shame and gratitude. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not concerned. I can't seem to remember much anything. Can you? I can't remember to do what He told me to do. I soon forget. I can't remember His promises. I quickly forget. Get worried and troubled and this and that and the other. I can't remember to show mercy like He tells me to. That's who's going to get mercy. And God never forgets. I can't remember my brother's frame. God never forgets. I can't remember to be gracious, to do good. God never forgets. I can't remember to speak kindly, a word in season. God never forgets. I can't remember to be selfless. I'm pretty selfish most of the time. He never. I can't remember to thank others and be appreciative to others for the things that they do for me. God never forgets. So He's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Even giving commendation and appreciation, as it were, to those that do what He made them do. Have you ever done anything for someone, something generous and something sacrificial, and that person did not respond or did not thank you? It hurts, doesn't it? I've had it done to me, and I've done it. And we'll do it again. But God, ready to pardon. Merciful and gracious, ready to pardon. Love is the only thing that will forget something like that. Love is the only thing that will overcome a multitude, yea, every sin. Now here's good news, and I'm going to close. It's only been 30 minutes. But here's wonderful news. You ready for this? I've given you pretty much the bad news, what we are, and the good, what God is. Here's good news. What we can't forget, God can't remember. David said, "My sin is ever before me." Do you know anything about what he's talking about? This gospel's for sinners. Now, David wasn't talking. And I'm not talking necessarily about an isolated incident. There are many of them. Not just one. There have been many grievous offenses. Very grievous, shameful, singular sins by every one of us in our path. But David is saying, all my sin is ever before me. All I have ever done and not done. We have sinned more in what we have not done right than what we've done wrong. We have sinned more presumptuously, secret sins, than actual sins. We have sinned more in a way of not doing what we ought to do as what we should be, grateful, thankful, appreciative, serving children of our merciful God, and what we've not done and what we have done against Him. We have sinned, when He says, all my sin is ever before me. All that I have done, all I have not done. All that I have said, all that I have not said. All those years as an ungrateful child, son, daughter. All that I've not said, all the trouble I've caused Not just myself, but others. The no good I have not done. The good I have not done. The no good I have. Huh? All the trouble I've caused others, all the trouble I've caused myself. David is saying, I'm saying, the sin that is before us is all that I have been, all that I am now. And people, it's not over. Our sins are not over. Our worst ones may yet to become, may to come. Yes, it is. And all I ever shall do is against God. But here's what the faithful Lord says. I remember him no more. Won't bring him up. David asked the Lord two things in Psalm 25. He says, Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. And then he said in the next verse, remember not the sins of my youth. I look back at my youth in horror and shame. But my parents don't seem to remember. They don't seem to remember. I bring up things all the time without the details, and they don't remember. And you know, there are things that I cannot blot out of my memory. I can't, to this day, get over it. I can't blot it out of my memory. God says, their sins I've blotted out. Blotted out. How? Blood. Blood, that's how. If you look back at your past with great shame and regret, rejoice. Your sins are gone. I got real good news for you. If you have nothing but shame and regret, rejoice. Your sins are gone. Christ died. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Yea, who is he that condemneth? Christ died. Rejoice. If you look back with great shame, rejoice. If you look back with no great shame, with no regrets, rejoice. Your self-righteousness is forgiven you. Do you understand me? Here's two boys. One is a model child. He's been nothing but a good son. I had two brothers. My oldest brother was a model son. My other brother was a rebel to the core. Wasn't he, Mom? Who made the difference? My sister was a model child. She was daughter of the American Revolution. She was a role model, a citizens, won a good citizen award. I did not. Who made thee to differ from another? Here's a Martha. Never gotten into any trouble. Never done anything wrong, per se. A role model as a child, a wonderful daughter, and a virgin till the day that she's married. And over here's a Mary. Pregnant early. Has a baby out of wedlock. Tries to find husband after husband. Married five times. And finally living with a fella. Who made the difference? Who made the difference? The Lord in
mercy, and His purpose and His providence allowed this one daughter to go astray and to wallow in sin, and in great mercy and sovereign restraining grace kept this one from bringing shame and reproach upon her family, upon her God, upon herself. She had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And yet she gets proud. She gets self-righteous. She gets haughty. She looks down on them. Look, I didn't do that. Who's the worst sinner? Mind you. Who's the worst? This one that takes credit for nothing that she had done. And this one that's weeping and wailing. It's a great mercy. My sister, as I said, the Lord had to show her she's a sinner. All the Lord had to do was wake me up, and I was in the hog pen. I woke up in the gutter. Literally. She was in the pew. He had to her up. See herself. See her what? Her self-righteous self. That is just nauseous to God. Self-righteous. And it's great mercy. I'm not so sure. Well, it takes the same grace, same power to convict either one. But to convict that good young lady, that good young man, that great mercy, great power, great grace. Oh, my. Let me close with this. I quoted it to you in Jeremiah 31. I'll close with this, okay? If you want to turn there, Jeremiah 31. The Lord in Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 36 especially, He said, you're going to remember. You're never going to forget. You're never going to forget your sins. And it's a good thing. You know that? It's a good thing that we don't forget, that our sin is before us. It's a good thing. Why? It keeps us broken. It keeps us humble. It keeps us calling on God for mercy. It keeps us loving this gospel. It keeps us hearing this gospel. It keeps us coming back. Our greatest need is mercy. And if we don't know we're sinners, we're not going to ask for mercy. Our greatest need is a sacrifice on Calvary, a bloody sacrifice, a propitiation for our sin. And that's Jesus Christ. And if God doesn't show us our sin, we won't need Christ. We'll think lightly of Him. We'll trod underfoot His precious blood. We'll just pass by like it's nothing to us. We'll hear gospel message after gospel message, and it'll mean nothing to us. That's a high crime, isn't it? That's a high crime. The very blood shed for our ungrateful souls is what forgives us that ingratitude. He said in Ezekiel 36, He said, you'll remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. And you'll be ashamed and you'll be confounded. But here's what God said. You'll never forget what you can't forget. Your sins. Here's what God said. In verse 33, this is the covenant, Jeremiah 31, this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. What we can't forget, God can remember. Anybody? Okay, let's stand and sing a song. Oh, John, we got to write it down. What is it?
221.
Oh, that's it. Thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord. 21. Let's stand as we sing this.
Thank you.